morning. It's good to have everybody here this morning. Appreciate those that are here visiting with us today. Glad you could be here with us as well. We have some work to do as a local body today. Work on a lesson this morning that involves our church here, involves the work that we do as a local congregation. Not that most things we preach and teach don't have an impact on us in that way, but we particularly want to talk on the subject of elders this morning, and that is kind of a prelude, and the things that we will be doing tonight involved with actually handing out some forms and looking at timelines and considering men who might be in our congregation that are worthy and desirous of serving as elders. I want to say about this before we start that the things that we're going to say this morning are going to be fundamental. There are things that we all know. I'm not going to try to introduce anything new. They should be a reminder to all of us. But I think it's important for us to keep hearing and thinking in our own minds that we're not finished, we're not where we ought to be in the way that the Lord looks at us as a local body until we are organized the way that He wants an organized church to be. And we're just not in that situation. We'll look at that momentarily. Passages for us to look at initially in Acts 14, verse 23, and when they'd appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. If you look even earlier in that particular text, you'll see that they had returned unto churches that is Paul and Barnabas, to do this appointing of elders, short span of time, really, in which they're leaving, preaching, and opening, starting these congregations, involving themselves in the initial work of the church, and then coming back to those congregations and appointing elders, maybe as little as 2 years, 18 months. So a short period of time after the church is established, they come back and find men at that point in time that are worthy to serve and desirous to do it. Now, just think about that for a moment. Even if it were a few years, and I'm uncertain about the timeline, it was a short period of time. Now, I understand that the Holy Spirit was involved in things to the extent that we don't have that today. But we do have the written word, and we don't need to overcook the idea that a man has to be in the church 40 years before he can be eligible or one who can serve as the Lord. He just needs to meet the qualifications. And we'll talk about that more as we go through the lesson this morning. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, Paul says, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So here Paul implies what? Well, he replies that the church is out of order. It's not in order until such time as you appointed elders in every town. So he directs, he charges, he commands, Paul does, by guidance of the inspiration and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Titus go to work in doing this very thing. And then in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, a passage I've always liked just because it just so simply lays out the organization of the church. Not intending to be a verse that really does that, just subtly does it. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to one, all the saints in Christ Jesus, that would be the universal church, two, who are at Philippi, that would be specifically the local church, with the overseers, that would be the elders, and the deacons. Everybody see that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. So there you have the organization of the church. And we are one of these. We are either scripturally organized, as we just read about in Philippians 1, verse 1. We are unscripturally organized. We are scripturally disorganized, or we're unscripturally disorganized. Now, I could spend a lot of time talking about all that, but all you really need to know and understand is that there's people out there doing all kinds of things in the name of religion to organize themselves. There are popes in Italy. There's hierarchy in Salt Lake City. There's hierarchy in all kinds of places with all kinds of titles given to it. There's 18-year-old elders. There's men who call themselves pastors that are not married. All unscriptural. Things that the Bible doesn't endorse. I am not a pastor. And please don't refer to me as your pastor. Because I am not serving as an elder or a bishop, as we'll talk about those terms. And faith, you have not appointed me to that position. to serve as an elder, and so I am not an elder of the Lord's church. So referring to me as a pastor would be an inappropriate use of that term. And we need to be careful about that. So anyway, those are all phrases. We could be organized in such a way, if you want to look at that last phrase, unscripturally disorganized, where there's just chaos. I mean, there's really nobody that's in charge, or everybody is. And that would just, you've seen some of that probably over the years. That wouldn't be right either. So anyway, the point would just simply be we need to be scripturally organized, and where we are right now is there. The Church of Roswell is scripturally disorganized, and there's no shame in that. It's not where the Lord wants us to be, but it's where the churches that we read about in Acts 14 before Paul and Barnabas went back and made elders or appointed elders in those congregations, it's where they were. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when the church dispersed from Jerusalem and the churches began to start, and even Paul, when he got the Macedonian call, went into areas or cities and churches where they were beginning, and at first of all, there was just this organizing stage that was going on, and there weren't any elders yet. It took some time for that to happen. So there is a period of time in which churches normally and typically would be in this phase of being scripturally disorganized. But always, if we're trying to be faithful to the Lord with an eye on doing the things that Paul has charged Titus to do, to put the church in order, to set it in order, that should be the mind of every one of us as children of God. I hope you read the RFR this morning, the article by Brother Earnhardt, and I pulled that, looked for a while to find one I thought would be appropriate this morning. And I particularly want you to look, if you have it, you can look at it with me. But I particularly want you to look on the second flap, where it basically says in about the third to last paragraph, I think it is the third to last, now from these qualifications of elders, there's nothing so significant as the fact that they are devoted Christians. That they are men, married men, family men is not anything special. Now hear what he says about this, because he's right. That they possess native skills as teachers gives them no distinction either. Many men who have no faith in Christ at all could say the same. That is, if they're men, if they're married, they're family men and have ability to teach. Many men, in the case of elders, it is the unqualified devotion that these men have to Christ that gives meaning to their family relationships and to their God-giving skills. And then read on. I cannot tell you how often I have heard complaints about the absence of elders in local churches and the difficulty of finding qualified men to serve. It is not helpful merely to describe the problem and complain about it. We need to find the exact source of the critical shortage and formulate some godly solutions. And then he says, Brother Earnhardt does, one thing we must face is that the Holy Spirit makes elders out of devoted Christians in churches that are filled with half-hearted and indifferent disciples, don't have any material to work with. And that's why we have a shortage in many cases, because we have uncommitted young men. And we had several lessons in my home or in Robert's home about this idea of trying to develop the younger men into being elders and understanding now, if you're not faithful in your attendance now, young men, young ladies, you won't make a good elder later. If you're not setting your mind on things above now, you're not going to be an elder, good elder later on. If you're not being what you ought to be as a godly husband now, godly father now, then you're not going to be good in taking care of the church later on. And Paul says exactly that to Timothy. If you can't take care of your own house, how can you take care of the house of God? And so a point I'm just simply trying to make, and what Brother Earnhardt is trying to make here, is that the reason why churches are not developing young men into elders is because there are too many young men and young ladies who are not committed now. They'll do it later. We'll get around to that. And it just never does happen. And I'm trying to encourage those that are younger now to your course of life shouldn't be anyway, that primarily I'm doing what I'm doing because someday I want to serve as an elder. It ought to be because you want to go to heaven. And that the things you're trying to develop in your character, and the things you're trying to do, the decisions you're making, the whole sanctification process that Brother Earnhardt refers to here, about setting yourself apart in holiness, that that's the kind of character and person you're trying to be because you want to go to heaven someday. But in the doing of all that, in the making the right correct selections, in seeking first the kingdom of God, in setting your mind on things above, in doing all those things now, it just naturally occurs and happens in your life that you develop as a heaven-bound person, sanctified, distinctive, set apart in your life to be the kind of person that would someday serve as an elder. I just think it naturally occurs. It happens for men who love the Lord and wives who are married to men who love the Lord, and they too love the Lord. They want it together because they understand that it's a height of service that God expects from his children who desire to have the church be all what it needs to be. All right, so we want to get to a point where we are scripturally organized. Well, what the New Testament has to say about elders, this is going to go pretty fast here. Acts 14, verse 23, where he talked about the idea that, that Paul and Barnabas had appointed elders in every church. The Jerusalem church had elders that Barnabas and Saul delivered to them relief, you might remember. And they took that collection up in Antioch and sent the money on to Jerusalem to relieve the needy saints there. Who'd they give it to? They gave it to the elders, is what the Bible says, there in Jerusalem. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, Acts 20, verse 28, direct statements are made regarding elders' responsibility. We'll look at some of these, that they are to shepherd and oversee the flock. Elders are given the charge to be soul watchers in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. They're going to have to give an account for that, the Bible says, about their ability and their willingness to oversee, to look over the congregation, to feed them, to shepherd them, and to make sure that the children of that particular place, the children of God in this place, Roswell, our elders or potential elders need to be those who are looking at us and want so badly for us to go to heaven, they will not let us do sin without correcting us. They won't let that happen. They won't let us see, they won't stand by and watch us headed in the wrong direction without disciplining us because they love us too much. They won't allow us to miss services on a regular basis because they know that's dangerous to our soul. And in forsaking the assembly, the matter is a willful sin, Hebrews chapter 10. And they'll want to save our soul too bad to let that continue. That's the men we want to have serving us, who understand their role and their responsibility with that. The church of Philippi had overseers and deacons. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9, Paul gives Timothy and Titus characteristics or qualifications in which are ways in which we can appoint these men. We'll talk about that some either this morning or this evening. And so the word elders itself comes from a Greek word that designates maturity, older men. The word bishop comes from a Greek word which means overseer. And it's overseer, it designates the idea of oversight. And then the word, the Greek word from which we get pastor or shepherd, designates leadership. Leadership, oversight, maturity. That's the kind of man we're looking for. Somebody who we can look to and say, I don't have any question about it in my mind, that man can lead us. And he's mature, he's not just old. That doesn't do it by itself, but he's old and he can lead. He's not just old and he can lead, but he'll take oversight and see and watch over my soul. And that's the man that we want to serve as an elder in the church at Roswell and somebody we ought to support. Look at this. They are to rule, the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 8. That idea is he that leads or rules, the one having the rule in Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders, that those who speak to you the word of God, consider their outcome of the way of life and imitate their faith. They are to shepherd and teach. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Guy Woods says about this particular thought, This is a good quote. I've had it in my file for some time. The office of the presbyters was to watch over the particular church in which they were over. They were to instruct the ignorant, to exhort the faithful, to confute the gainsayer, to warn the unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, to be patient toward all. They were to take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers. Now, see who made them overseers. The Holy Ghost did. To feed the flock of God which he had purchased with his own blood. In one word, it was their duty to promote to the utmost of their ability and by every means within their reach the spiritual good of all committed to their care. But listen to that. Instruct, exhort, confute, warn, support, be patient, feed, promote, all active words to talk about who this man is as an elder and what he does within the congregation. I realize Guy Woods is just another man in you was going to wrote that. But it's still a good thought and things I think that come directly from Scripture. But what authority may scripturally qualified elders exercise over a congregation? As overseers, they're ones that have the rule over us. And we need to be, according to that passage, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The Holy Spirit says that this man who's serving as an elder, or these men who together are serving as an elder in plurality, when they are serving in this position and doing their jobs right, then they are looking over, they are taking care of the church of God. They are enlisted by God, charged by God, given instruction from God on how to oversee the congregation, and they are to do that. Now, if there are to be overseers, there needs to be those who are being overseen, those who are subject to those who are overseers. And I want to tell you, we're a whole lot better at finding overseers in the church today than finding those who understand what it means to be overseen. We don't do so well with that. We don't do so well as children with parents, and we don't do so well sometimes as it relates to the church. More about that later on. King James says that means the idea of caring for the church, to feed the church, American Standard Version. New King James, New American Standard, NIV say to shepherd the church. All of those phrases say the same sort of thing. That's the kind of man that we want over us. To be pastors, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. To have rule over us in Hebrews 13 and verse 7 and verse 17. And those leaders, as leaders we are, those of us that are being overseen, to submit to them. More about that idea even as we continue. Now, so what is the charge of the congregation toward its elders? This is something I put together for just sent it out. Most of you should have, you think probably everybody got it. I sent it out on the members list. You may not have looked at it. But when we had our 20 or so, we'd gather together every week or every other week or so, and we got together in what we called that elders deacons class. This is the last Sunday or the last Monday rather that we came together. The subject matter or the question was, how can we as a church, as a congregation, best support, help our eldership? That was our study for that week. Y'all should have been there. Everybody. I know that probably wouldn't have worked in my house, but, you know, it was really good. And I'm going to share some of the thoughts of some of those that were there and what they had to say. I'm not going to give you their names, but I want you to see what they had to say about this. But here's what I sent out, that we need to appreciate and respect them, to esteem them, to obey them, to submit to them, to support them, even to discipline them. Even as the elders should discipline us when we are not where we are to be, they need to be disciplined if they're out of order. And any good elder would tell you that. If they're not standing for truth, that needs to be disciplined. If they're using, you know, poor judgment, then that certainly needs to be questioned if it's a matter of things that would involve or hurt the church. Well, more about judgment later on. But it doesn't need to be treated like it is in Matthew chapter 18. And Paul specifically deals with that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll not spend a lot of time on it now, but I'm saying to you now, I truly believe this to be true, that there's a greater charge placed on us as it relates to charging an elder than there is in a disagreement we have with each other. Now, I believe what Matthew 18 says. Jesus obviously gave us pure instruction. We don't do very good with it about how to handle disagreements with one another, that we should go directly to one another and get that resolved. And if that doesn't work out, as Jesus would say, well, then you take a witness with you, two or three more, and you sit down and you get it resolved. And if that doesn't get it, then you tell it to church. Now, that's how Jesus said to do it. Rarely is it done that way. We way too often spend time on the telephone trying to talk to somebody else about something we ought to be talking to a brother or sister about. Well, I'm saying to you that Paul tells Timothy that there has to be at least two that have testimony against an elder that a charge is true. And that would mean if Warren were in a situation, there were elders at this congregation, and he alone thought something was wrong with what elders were doing, but nobody else saw that, nobody else agreed with that, then he should rethink maybe his situation or position as it relates to that, about how he approaches that elder, because it may just be some view that he has that might be different. I think it does give us a charge, whatever it means, to give real thought and restraint to how we approach an elder. That's the idea, I think, that I would say to you. So I wish I had more time to talk about that, but I won't get the rest of my lesson done. So anyway, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13, we ask you, brothers, to respect or appreciate New American Standard Version those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We should not have men who serve as elders and their wives who have any question about the fact that the sheep esteem them very highly. That's what it says. Very highly. There should be no, listen to me, zero, no question in the minds of our elders and their wives that we just could not love them more for the work they're doing. Now, I'll probably never serve as an elder again in my life. I don't see that happening in my lifetime. But I want you to hear this. That doesn't happen enough. As one who has served, you get chunks taken out of you. You get beat up pretty good about things, and you deal with a whole lot of adversity and negative things. But it's amazing how few people will send you a card and tell you they thank you for the good work you're doing. And Paul says it shouldn't be that way. You got men who have taken on this role and are willing to take this on and spend hours and hours of time, and I'm telling you, hear me on this, sleepless nights, constant companionship with their fellow elders, trying to work things out, unable to spend time with their spouse or their grandchildren or their older children because they're caught up in the work of the church and trying to do what they can to maintain unity and to help people get to heaven. And what they hear way too often is just criticism. When they decide to buy a new copy machine, people want to criticize them for it or change the color of the paint on the wall or the carpet in the building. When the order of the services change or the times change, they just get railed. I know of churches that have divided over carpet in the building and change the schedule and the time of schedule. And what's happened to us, people, with understanding what it is and what it means for an elder to rule over a congregation, and more than that, for a congregation to understand if you've got elders who are ruling over you, then you absolutely, by necessity of the phrase of the term, as it's related to us, that means that we are submitting. There are those who are submitting to those who rule. In matters of judgment, it should never be. It should never be that we're getting in the car and barbecuing an elder or an elders for having made a decision about those kind of things. So we need to be careful that we don't let ourselves do that. I was asked recently about whether I thought we had men, my brother yesterday, in fact, recently has been asked me several times, but do you think we have any men who are willing to serve? And I answered his question. Well, here's what I want to tell you about that. It doesn't really matter what my answer was now. This needs to be your answer later on. It needs to be who you think. But If you have a man here, and I do believe we have men who are qualified. If you have a man here who could serve as an elder, you need to know this. There is some skepticism in the mind of that brother. Because humility calls for it. It demands it. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. And for a man to move into this position and to bear the responsibility, not just for his own soul, but for the soul of 100 other people in a congregation, that's a tough thing to take on. Now, is there any of us here, if we were asked to assume responsibility for somebody else, that wouldn't have some skepticism about that? Wouldn't step back for a moment and say, oh, I don't know whether I'm ready for that or not. I don't know if I can do that. Let me tell you how they're going to believe that they can do this job. You're going to tell them that they can. You're going to, with a love and admiration you have because you believe in that man and his faith and his wisdom and his knowledge and the fact that he has grown and you've watched him grow to be the kind of man who can lead you, I want you in that position and I will follow. You shepherd, I will be the sheep. I'll follow you. You don't have to worry about that. I think that's what Marty's parting words to us when he preached a sermon on shepherding not long ago. Is that the words that an elder needs to hear from the flock is, I will follow you. And that's what you need to tell them. If you, as we go through this process and talk about it tonight, inform, think a man is qualified, you need to tell him that before you put his name on a piece of paper. I want to put your name on the paper because I think you're qualified and I will follow you. No matter what, I will follow you unless you break rank with the Lord as scripture, as far as scripture is concerned. In matters of judgment, you'll never have to worry about me. You can depend on me following you. All right. I'm going to skip all this because I think we're running out of time. I will say this, that as it relates to the term and to talk about obeying them, the idea of listening to and obeying and yielding to elders is the idea. And apart from erroneous teaching, that's exactly what we need to be doing. Here's what the congregation, here's what those that were in the assembly of my house during this particular study we had to say. And I'm going to do this. This was on June 6th without much comment. This is what your fellow members said. Submitting to elders should come naturally since we should be submitting to one another anyway. Be joyfully supportive even when disagreement occurs. And I remember that comment and the word joyfully was emphasized. Esteem them highly, very highly. Don't get a long face. Don't be sarcastic or negative. Be supportive, joyfully. Do not try and isolate the elders, and that is great division among them. Do not be a party of that. Become better listeners and support them with personal thankfulness. Show appreciation. Respect them. Honor them. This is a young person. This was out of the mouth of a teenager. It's like a parent telling you to go and wash the dishes. We might obey, but we don't necessarily mean we're honoring them. Elders need to be obeyed and honored. Out of the mouth of a teenager who understands that there's a difference between acquiescing to somebody and honoring them. Don't just obey them, honor them in the obedience of it. Love them and highly esteem them. Encourage and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Do not take for granted those that are elders because they may not be there someday. Never be quarrelsome with an elder. Don't be one who tends toward being argumentative. Acquiesce. Build them up. Be complimentary of them. Again, acquiesce to their judgment. Do it joyfully. Esteem him, the elder. Follow them. We cannot disconnect when things are not going our way. Don't just go stick your head in the sand or quit showing up because you're mad at the elders and you don't like to fast. In fact, if they move services from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock or from whatever situation might be. Accept their discipline. Follow their lead. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. See them as a support system to help my family get to heaven. If we respect them enough to help put them in as elders, it should weigh on us if we fail to give them that respect. 20% showed up for elders, deacons. I didn't say this. It was said by the person. 20% have showed up for this elders, deacons class. That said, as a congregation, do we understand the gravity of not being supported? Are we a drag on them? We need to help them to do their part and be more sensitive of their time. Don't ask them to do needless things, was the idea here. Understand that there are several families in this congregation, and I can't put too heavy a demand on their time. Come to know and love them, spend time with them, be hospitable, open your house to them. It goes two ways. Not only is an elder to be hospitable, we're all to be hospitable. And that's the idea. There's some people that just won't let you in their house. And I'm talking to you from an elder's perspective and having been there, I never really could understand that. We would try to go and to visit with somebody and they would meet us at a coffee shop, but they would not let us in their home. It always made us wonder, what are they doing in there, you know, that would keep us from coming and being with them. So anyway, it goes both ways. So there's the idea, and let us make sure that we understand this. The qualified men, we're supposed to be trying to find qualified men who will serve. And once we find those men, let's appoint them if they're qualified. And then we need to appreciate them, esteem them, obey them, submit to them, support them, even discipline them in love, to remember them and imitate them so that the glory of God may be manifested in our local church. All the phrases that came from the points that I mentioned already to you. What does it mean to submit? It means, according to Thayer, to yield or give way, to absolve, to be submissive. Elders who are, when functioning properly, are involved in a divine work authorized by God, and to oppose them is to oppose God. Their duty is to oversee, ours is to be overseen. They are shepherds of the flock and must give an account, and the flock must recognize a rule to follow or be guilty of sin. Brother Haley says this about the idea of following. Instead of talking about leadership and leaders so much, let's put the emphasis on following for a while. No truly godly man wants to be the leader of the church, nor does he want to rule it. He realizes that true greatness, according to Christ's standard, is to be realized in being a servant of all. The truly great and godly is content to follow Christ and simply insist on others following him. It seems to be that the work of elders and preachers is not so much that of being leaders, but it is that of instructing and guiding others to be followers of the Lord as they themselves follow him. That should be capitalized, by the way. Follow the Lord. No, follow the elder. I guess I clarified that for myself. As they themselves follow the elder. So as the elder is following, just to restate that in my own words, as the elder is following the Lord, they're just simply following the elder, but in the doing of that, they're following the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews talks about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. You find somebody that's faithfully serving God, follow him. There's nothing wrong with that. I know we have to be careful in putting our faith and confidence in men, but still, when you find somebody who's doing the right thing, it's certainly right to be following him because he's right in following God the way he is. Here's what I want to make sure I get across to this congregation. We are going through a coming out of a very difficult and challenging time. We had our struggles here. And whether you were a part of the struggle or I was a part of the struggle, we were in it together, weren't we? And it was tough. And I'm saying to you now that what the Lord wants for us to do is now that in all humility is to look out among our congregation and say, is there somebody I can trust and have confidence in that will lead me through a similar situation if it were to occur? And if we have men like that, we need to put them in. We need to appoint them. And we need to get out of business meetings. Not because they're a hassle, and they are. It's like having a root canal as far as I'm concerned. We need to do it, though, because we have men who are qualified to do it, and the Lord's asked us or told us or commanded us to do that, to organize ourselves that way. And we need to happily submit to those guys. I'm going to let the rest of this go until tonight, but those are the qualifications that we have. I know you can't read those up there. There's no way you can. Didn't intend for you to be able to do that. Whoops. And those qualifications are listed, some that are positive, that are negative, are things that we've been over together, and I've wrote articles on them. I'm not going to spend time on those tonight. You need to do that, though, because it's your job. Listen to me now. You're going to be given a form tonight. You're going to be charged to go find, look out along the congregation and say, do we have men that are qualified? And I want you to picture this now. We have a brother, your family member, your child, your mother, your father, brother or sister is in spiritual trouble. Who and do you have confidence in this man, and will you acquiesce to him? And you need to ask yourself the question as to whether or not I'm the kind of follower, and is it my attitude? Is my attitude right in all this? Because our elders are going to be asked to take care of discipline issues. We've got some here now that need to be taken care of. And it's not because we're mad at anybody. We're not angry. This business, so this idea of taking care of withdrawing from people or taking church action against somebody is not a punitive thing. It's to do the work that the church is to do to protect itself, to purge out that person who is sinful, as Paul would tell those in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But it's also to save the soul of the person. To do what we can to get that brother or sister out of the sinful conduct, whatever that might be, out of that and back into the family, to the church. And we can't do that. We can't do our job with that if we're not loving them now. If we've got people here who are not attending regularly and you're not reaching out to them, no eldership in the world is going to be able to discipline that person in a way that's going to make you happy. They may take action against that person. They may take them off the roll. They may send them a letter that you're going to hate. But at the end of the day, what's going to make discipline work is for us to be in it together. Working together. That's the way it's going to be in everything that goes on with this eldership and this congregation here. We've got to be in this together. We've got to be so close. Love these men so much that they don't have any doubt about that. And when they got to make the tough decisions, we don't criticize them. We know how broken down and hurt and tearful they are over having to make those decisions. I mean, I've got children myself that need to be disciplined and never have been. Why not? Why didn't the churches where they remember that do their job? Why didn't they? You know, they're not going to go to heaven right now if they die. Both of my sons, and I know that about them. And you think that doesn't bite at me? But why didn't the churches where they remember do their job and do the very thing the Lord's commanded them to do? It's either because there was an absence of leadership or because the leadership did not do its job. Or, number three, because the membership didn't do theirs. Or a combination of those things. Now, that's just one instance for you. And discipline is a hard issue for us to deal with. But if we're going to put men in to be leaders, put men in to be elders, when they go through the process of taking care of that, what I'm saying to you is, the Lord says you got to follow them. Hard, but you got to do it. Because they're looking out after your souls. Listen to this now. Listen to this good. Because they're going to have to give an account for themselves as to how well they did with that job. Now that's the man you're going to be putting in as an elder here if he decides to serve. Somebody who's looking out after your soul, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, and loves you so much that even if it's tough, they're going to do what they can to snatch you out of the world. And they're going to do it because they love you. But they're also going to do it because they got to give an account for their soul. And they're going to do what's right to keep the church pure. And that's their charge. All right. I can go on about this. Tonight when we come back together, here's the way it's going to work, just so you know. Not going to be any sermon tonight. I'm not going to talk about these qualifications. We're going to read the passages about the qualifications. We're going to go through the form and the timeline together. The timeline is in your RFR, so you can see that. But we're going to go through that together, and then we're going to dismiss. We're going to hand out the forms after we've gone through them, and we're going to dismiss and have the Lord's Supper, and then Walt's going to do a 10-minute so review of his trip to Arizona when he was with Jim Thayer. So he can tell us about that. So that's what's going to happen tonight. If you're here this morning, not a child of God, I know this is a unique lesson. It's not the way I usually preach, but it's kind of a different scenario we got going on here. This is a really important thing that we have going on. That's not a thing. It's a really important challenge that we have going on to look in our congregation and first of all to see as a congregation whether we have men who will serve and are desirous to do it, and then go through the process of putting them in as elders after they've had time to consider it and we've had time to talk with them. So that's what we've done this morning, is try to set that up. But if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to think about your undone condition to become a Christian. And if you are and we can help you in any way, or you need the prayers of the church, we want to help you as well as we stand and sing the invitation song.